Very excited to be joined now on the phone by Mr. Pat Collin from the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's with the Sea Kayak and the marketing supervisor for the recreational sports outdoor program. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Pat. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave.
Now, you've got quite an interesting title here at UMD. Can you give us a little background on your position and maybe what a typical day might look like for you?
Yeah, sure. Pretty much what I do is my dream job. I teach sea kayaking classes for credit, and I do some stand-up paddleboarding instruction and snow kiting. That's one half of my job, and then the other half is I'm in charge of marketing and advertising for Rec Sports Outdoor Program, and that involves basically I hire student graphic designers and people in marketing and business majors, and they do a lot of the work. I just direct it, and so they do the posters and advertising on campus as well as website and Facebook and other social media aspects for the program. And so I can't complain at all. I love it.
Nice. Sounds like a lot of variety.
It is.
Nice. And a lot of outdoor time. I see the tagline on your email here is, "The real classroom is outside. Get into it." And that's definitely coming from a marketing perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, that's been a motto of ours since I've been with the program, and that's close to 25 years. I remember when I started, there was a poster that was prominent around the office, and basically it was a silhouette of a student, a young student, running outdoors. It looked like he's, you know, running out to the playground or something. And then the motto, that's where the motto was written. And that's basically how we look at what we do.
It's a great way to stay active and make a little money on the side. So good for you, Pat. Now, all this month, we are exploring environmental stewardship and Lake Superior. And it seems like you're pretty closely tied to that, your department. And what role do you guys play in fostering stewardship for your students?
Well, I think, especially in my case, and my coworker, Randy, who was going to do the interview, but luckily for him, he's outside paddling right now, is we're kind of in the adventure sport realm. And what we do is get people outside and being comfortable outside in some pretty interesting environments. I guess our thought process is that if people are comfortable being outdoors, they're more aware of their surroundings and they can appreciate it much more. And in turn, hopefully we'll lend a hand and take care of the environment.
So do you teach any specifics when it comes to stewardship? I mean, do you guys have a curriculum that you talk about the appreciation, but is there a stuff that you've got to instill in these students, or is it just a...
Well, it could depend, I suppose, on the activity. Sometimes, let's say we're just doing an introductory surfing at the beach, we might not spend a lot of time on how to take care of the beach. But on the other hand, we might do a trip to the Apostle Islands, a 4 or 5 day overnight camping trip, and we'll discuss leave no trace techniques, and basically the whole trip revolves around, and we practice those stewardship efforts.
Sure.
So I guess it all depends. I guess it depends.
Sure. Well, it's always a different season and a different reason to be outside. Now, what do you guys, as far as the curriculum, you mentioned stand-up paddle boarding, surfing, sea kayaking. How have you seen that evolve over the years? This stand-up paddleboarding seems like a new one.
Yeah, stand-up paddleboarding is really exploding, and in fact, I think it's almost taking the place of sea kayaking in a lot of respects. When I first started 25 years ago, sea kayaking was really booming and starting to kind of be a downward trend. But the stand-up paddleboard, I think it's easier for most people. Basically, you just stand up, have a paddle, and you can almost anybody can paddle it. And it's not as expensive. There's not a lot of additional things like spray skirts and stirrups and bilge pumps and all that stuff that adds up. So it's a pretty accessible and easy sport, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this sounds like something I need to go back to school for. how many students go through your program on an annual basis?
We get hundreds. Our program is pretty diverse. At RSOP, we have a climbing coordinator. We have a paddling and surf and kite coordinator. And we have a kind of a natural history and like an outdoor education coordinator. And then I do a sea kayaking instruction. So between the four of us, you know, it's hard to keep track of how many students, but I put it in the thousands.
Nice, nice. Now, do you ever have trouble with people not passing? I mean, is this the kind of class that you got to study for? Or, you know, this just is seems like a dream for a lot of folks.
I haven't failed anybody yet.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't failed a student yet in sea kayaking. It's a sport where it's not rocket science. And so people catch on pretty quickly, and people are motivated if they're in the class. They're super interested. And really, the academic part isn't a huge part of what we do. Each one of us does teach an academic class for credit. For instance, I have a sea kayaking class that I teach. Randy teaches a whitewater kayaking class, and Lucas teaches a climbing, intro to climbing class, and Tim Bates teaches a lot of the outdoor education classes for the fire department. So that's one side of what we do, but we're employed by the student life. It's a student life department. And so our focus is more on the non-academic side. So we work a lot with students who might be an English major or an engineering major. They're just interested in learning more about the outdoors and what they can do outside. And we work with these students. A lot of them come in pretty green. Like, most of them would probably have never been in a sea kayak or on a stand-up paddleboard. And we help them along, and if they're interested, they work with us eventually, actually get paid to teach other people. And not only students, though, during the summer, oftentimes they'll be working with community members and teaching them stuff that they themselves just, you know, learned the summer before. And so, you know, that's another way. It's kind of a dichotomous thing where we're working with all different types of students for many different reasons.
Sure, sure. So what do you feel are some of the bigger take-home messages that these students are leaving your classroom with? You know, there's obviously the appreciation for Mother Nature and for Lake Superior. Is there, you know, are there other things you're teaching them specifics to stewardship?
You know, one thing that we always focus on is giving them opportunities to work with the community for activities. For instance, my sea kayak class for credit, we do a beach sweep because we use the harbor. We actually have what we call the boat shed down there. And so we work with the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And so the students who are in my class actually will go out and do a, you know, a structured beach sweep. And many of our classes are like that. And so the students have opportunities. We do things like we stress not using water bottles at our facility. So we have water dispensers that keeps track of how many plastic water bottles we are not using. You know, each time a student fills up at the, you know, the water dispenser, and, you know, things like that. And so I believe the students, after they graduate, understand the responsibility that they have for the environment. And we're going to make a concerted effort. You know, oftentimes, like I said, we'll just go out and go surfing. And that's basically what we're doing. So Randy and I thought that, you know, we need to, like you're, you know, asking me, what are the students learning? We're going to hold an event that we're going to call the Duluth Paddle Sport and Surfing Rendezvous in September. And it's not so much on surfing and paddling on Lake Superior. This is going to be focused more on environmental stewardship. And so we're aligning ourselves with some other organizations in the area who that is their focus. For instance, I mentioned the Alliance for the Great Lakes. They're responsible for the beach sweep that I mentioned I do with my class. They're going to help us. The Surf Rider Foundation of Minnesota and Superior, they're going to help us in our efforts, along with the Large Lakes Observatory and the U.S. Coast Guard. And so this event, like I said, is going to focus on stewardship, but of course there is going to be, because Randy and I are both in the adventure sport realm, we're going to have a race. It's actually going to be a crossing of Lake Superior from the mouth of the Lester River to the mouth of the Brule River. It's about an 18-mile paddle across. And so we're kind of combining, you know, both our passions for environmental stewardship and for adventure sport in this event.
Yeah, you've got a really sweet location for a lot of this program. Of course, being on Lake Superior, a lot of these groups you have mentioned as partners are really unique and one of a kind to the Great Lakes. And as a City of Grand Marais Parks manager up here, I'm been participating in that beach sweep as well. So that's certainly a growing effort and a regional effort that's done a lot of good. I always get the spreadsheets on how many thousands of pounds of trash are collected and millions of cigarette butts, and really, really good job down there. Hats off to you and your department. Now, it sounds like you've been in this industry all your life. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges that are facing the health of Lake Superior?
Well, we've been pretty lucky, actually, on Lake Superior. You know, we do have our exotic species that are a huge, huge factor. And so, you know, for me, and I guess this is some of the stuff that's built right in into our curriculum that I don't even think about. We can't take our sea kayaks from Lake Superior and then go directly to another lake because of the organisms that could be inside, you know, in the water. And this is, you know, pretty common knowledge, especially with recreational fishing boats with their bilge water releases. But we have to deal with the same with our kayaks. So, you know, just having the students go through a day trip and having to do these types of things, they see how they impact the environment. And so for Lake Superior, you know, the exotic species, I think, are the major impact. Eventually, and I don't know if this will ever happen, but I just got back from the Desert Southwest and with my kids and talking about the Colorado River and how much, you know, the water is taken out of that. I can see in the future where, you know, the water, people taking the water from Lake Superior could be an issue. But, you know, in the near future, I think we're looking at exotic species.
Yeah, I've got kids myself, and perhaps you're familiar with the children's book One Little Pipe, and it's certainly on the horizon, this threat of everybody taking a little bit of water and pretty soon it'll be gone. Mm-hmm. So Lake Superior is precious. We need to protect it. Here's a fun one. Pat, I see back in 2011, you and your family were selected to participate in the Climate Idol program. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. You really did your research on me. Yeah, that was a really fun experience. We were selected to be part of this with the Sister Cities International, and Duluth was competing against Thunder Bay, one of our sister cities. And we were getting help from another one of our sister cities in Sweden. And I never could pronounce the name, but the city was voted the cleanest or the most environmentally conscious city in Europe. And so they know their stuff. And so they were our coaches as we competed against Thunder Bay. And we needed to pass and participate in several different categories of environmentalism. Probably the most telling for me was the energy usage, especially on our home. And so we had to do many things with our home to make sure we were saving energy, and also with our driving. And then we had food, how we grow and produce and eat our food. There's one on clothing. So we looked at different ways to help the environment with our clothing choices. I'm probably missing some. But anyway, we kept a blog for this and kept track of, tallied our points, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it was finally tallied, but there was never a winner declared. I think the Thunder Bay organization maybe lost some leadership along the way, and there was no finality as far as the competition is concerned, but we learned a lot. It was fun participating with the other families. It was pretty diverse. Our teammates, we had, I think, four or five families who are teammates, and so it was fun getting together with them on a monthly basis and sharing ideas, and our kids really enjoyed it. They learned a lot from it.
Any singing and dancing involved?
Singing and dancing?
I just see Climate Idol, I think American Idol, so.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. There was absolutely no singing and dancing in that one.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Pat Trick-Colin from the University of Minnesota Duluth, and he is deeply involved with the Sea Kayak and the Recreation Sports Outdoor Program down at UMD. He takes the students outside, the real classroom is outside, and he gets them out into it. And we really appreciate you coming on the Roadhouse tonight and sharing your thoughts and insight on stewardship and Lake Superior and being a climate idol.
Okay, thanks for having me, Dave.